I wonder how often we don't have conversations with those we love about death and dying, specifically our own death and dying. How often we avoid them at all costs. And yet, death, as we know, affects us all. Benjamin Franklin is supposed to have said after the American Constitution was approved, our new Constitution is now established. Everything seems to promise it will be durable. But in this world, nothing is certain except death. And some people might add taxes too. Perhaps in these past few years, its effects have been brought to our attention in closer ways, from the toll from COVID, from non-COVID illnesses, from people's actions across the world. Death, though, sometimes comes like a bolt from the blue. And we're left stunned, not sure what to do, not sure how to react, leaving us bereft of a relationship that mattered so much to us, a relationship in which we had invested so much time and energy, a relationship in which there was so much hope for the future. Certainly, Peter didn't want anything to do with Jesus, who was saying he would suffer and die. That was not part of Peter's plan, or what he thought God's plan might be. After all, he'd just proclaimed that Jesus was the Christ who had come to save them all, thinking, I'm sure, about the victory through the power and overcoming Roman authorities. It's not fair, might have been his cry. We assume that God would send a saviour who would take the world by storm, sweeping away his enemies and installing his special people in his kingdom. Of course, you know that to assume something makes an ass out of you and me. Jesus said this to Peter. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but the concerns of human beings. A salutary statement. A wake-up call for Peter. A wake-up call, perhaps, for us too. We are told that God's ways are not our ways. And that should make us stop and think about what we think God's plan for our own individual lives, our church's life, our world's life is, and how that might differ from what his plan really is for us. It's not fair. We've all cried that at some point in our lives, I guess. Possibly when we've been told to do something we didn't want to do, or seen someone else doing something that we really wanted to do, or perhaps seen someone suffer and die. It begs the question, though, what's fair? And how can we be sure we've got fairness right? There needs to be a standard by which we gauge all thoughts and actions, and Christians would believe that God has set that standard. And I agree with that statement. But I'm going to suggest to you this morning that God is actually not fair in his actions towards people. And maybe you strike me off as a minister now, except I'm retired, so what hey. But I believe that God has a biased heart, and that he calls his followers to have a biased heart too. Let me take you through what the psalmist says. He says in Psalm 22:24, He says God does not neglect the poor or ignore the suffering. He does not turn away from them, but answers when they call for help, a bias towards the poor. God is a God who detested, and that's a strong word, the sacrifices that the people of Israel made to him at various altars because they didn't look after the poor. He says, without justice, compassion, sacrifice is worth nothing. Micah poses the question, what does the Lord require? To do what is just, to show constant love, and live humbly with God. Jonah. Well, Jonah complained bitterly to God that he, God, wasn't going to be fair. That's why he ran away off in the opposite direction from Nineveh. And also why he went into one of the greatest huffs to be found in the Bible, when he wanted to die after God had spared the Ninevites because they had responded positively to the message of forgiveness that Jonah brought them. Jesus, when he came to show God's way of doing things, was always to be found with the outcasts of society, with the poor, the needy, with those who had no voice of their own. The religious leaders of the day cried, "It's not fair. Why would he spend time touching the leper, healing on the Sabbath, acknowledging the faith of the Samaritan woman, and the woman too who begged from crumbs under his table?" Jesus, whose mission statement was taken from the prophet Isaiah, "I come to bring good news," who? To the poor, to set the captives free, to bring sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed. "It's not fair," they cried. And Jesus cried that too, along with them, but then went on to help them. Mercy is a great Christian word, a great Christian virtue, which by its very nature is not fair. Evidently, when Queen Victoria came to the throne, one of the first things she was requested to sign was a death warrant for a convicted criminal. She and she alone had the power to send him to his death or not. And when she asked if she had any choice in the matter, she was told, "Oh yes, you can invoke the royal pardon." She did, saying that she wanted to send a message to her subjects about the way that she would rule her land. And so often mercy brings out the best in those who have received it. Those of you who are fans of Les Mis will know the difference that the bishop's treatment of Jean Valjean made to his life. Jesus shows such great mercy to the world and calls us, his followers, to do the same. Mercy's not fair. It's compassionate. It's forgiving. It's loving. Think of the story of the prodigal son. That wasn't fair, and that's what the big brother thought. And yet that is a story that shows us how God, as our Father, acts towards us, his children. And when Peter asked Jesus how many times he had to forgive, 70 times 7, that's other words always. That's not fair, because we want our pound of flesh, don't we? God wants love and mercy. The biased heart of God led him to allow his son to die on the cross so that we, his children, might know of his love, his mercy, his forgiveness. That wasn't fair. Jesus led an exemplary life, And yet the biased heart of the son meant that he was willing to be tortured to death so that we might have life. This is the first time in Mark's gospel that we read of Jesus telling his friends, the disciples, that suffering and death, his suffering and death, was a necessary though unfair part of God's plan for the world. The plan which would enable God's people to come back into his presence, to live in safety, security, wholeness, and peace. As we put our trust in Jesus' death on the cross, we are given an opportunity to have our lives transformed by God's Spirit in our lives, forgiving us, challenging us, guiding us into a new life where we cry, "It's not fair," when we see the unfairness of the world. But we mustn't stop there. God cries, "It's not fair," when we, his children, ignore the poor, the outcast, the oppressed of our society, when we stick to feathering our own nests at the expense of others. There are many different ways in which we as individuals and we as a church can get involved in helping others. Organisations like Fair Trade, Christian Aid, Amnesty International, and many others help us to learn how we can help those who cannot help themselves on a global scale. Our focus should never be inwards only. Being outward looking is essential. We need to be aware of the power that God has given us to enable us to lobby the government on behalf of those who have no voice. Church of Scotland encourages us as individuals to contact our MPs, our MSPs, our local councillors in order to share our concern about policies that harm those in greatest need. God calls us, his people, to stand up for what is right, to get ourselves immersed in actions that help the poor, the outcast, the oppressed of our world and of our society. We're called as individuals, we're called as a church to be aware not just of global, but that which in the communities that we live in, seeking to help them wherever we can. Jesus calls us as followers to take up his cross and follow him. You know, many disciples left after he said that. It's a hard message. He calls us to follow his way, the narrow way, but he promises us his presence with us as we accept that call. Jesus calls us to be honest about the power that we have. Both the worldly power we've got because of our skin colour, our gender, our social class, our education, and the spiritual power we have as a community upon which God has breathed his Holy Spirit. And then to let all of that influence our lives so that we may help those in need, so that, as Amos puts it, justice will roll down like waters, righteousness like a never-flowing stream, empowering the poor, meeting the outcast and the oppressed, bringing them the message in word and in deed that God is a God who is not fair, but is one who offers love, forgiveness, and mercy to all. Helder Camara is a South American bishop who says this: "Be careful of the way you live. It is the only gospel most people will ever read." Be careful of the way you live. It is the only gospel most people will ever read. God is the God of the biased heart. He calls us to follow in his footsteps, giving us his presence with us as we say yes. Amen.